And welcome to this Thursday, February 13th edition of Between the Lines. A public open house and ribbon cutting will be held this month for a new Fond du Lac County Highway Department garage. County Executive Al Beagle will join us shortly after the bottom of the hour. The Wisconsin Elections Commission yesterday deciding not to require local clerks to send two ballots to more than 80,000 people who wanted to vote absentee in the April 7th presidential primary. We'll get reaction from Lisa Freiberg, the Fond du Lac County clerk. February is Heart Month. We'll talk with Fond du Lac cardiologist Dr. Richard Santa Cruz on the final segment of the show. A business group's plan to develop a portion of Fond du Lac's Lakeside Park has been given the green light by the Fond du Lac City Council. The council voted last night to postpone replacing the existing Lakeside Park Pavilion and voting in favor of resolutions authorizing a feasibility study of an alternate plan proposed by the business group and the general concepts of that plan. Those general concepts include renovating the pavilion instead of replacing it and constructing an amphitheater, ice rink, and parking lot on Oven Island, and a restaurant and history museum building on the Lighthouse Peninsula. We're going to talk with council member Ben Giles, who first asked the city council to consider this possibility last fall. He'll join us on the next segment of the show. Fond du Lac City Manager Joe Moore joins us on the first segment. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Greg.
Pleasure having you on the program. When was construction on the new pavilion scheduled to begin?
This August. We figured that towards the tail end of the summer, it would have started. And so the design work that was postponed in October, November of last year was probably about halfway to three quarters done.
All right. How much money has the city already spent on this?
About $60,000.
The council did approve a feasibility study. When will that, on the alternate plan, when will that begin? How much will that cost and who pays for that?
Right. I don't know when we will start that. I'm going to be talking to some people later today about that very thing. We'll need some help from some consultants and such. We always look for professional firms to help us with that. You did a great description of what all was in consideration in this, and there's a lot there. So we'll have to figure out what the priority of work is on evaluating all of these things, because feasibility is, can it be built on the site due to structural environmental constraints, affordability, the business case for building a certain size facility. So there's a lot of work to be done there. And we will certainly, as I said, be looking for some outside firms. But what that will cost right now, I don't know. I'm not sure how we're going to split it up between what we're going to look at in-house and then from outside.
What will the feasibility study look at? Will it look at things like, for example, the construction on Oven Island, Oven Island's in a floodplain, whether that's feasible, the restaurant history museum on the peninsula right next to the lake, is there enough room there, parking, congestion?
Yes.
All of that stuff?
Yes, all of it. You know, there's a lot to do to make sure that any assumptions that have been made about Oven Island or the Lighthouse Peninsula in terms of the buildability there is, we've got to evaluate all of that. You're right about the floodplain. The engineers understand that, so they'll certainly take that into consideration. Of course, there's the business side of it, too. It's, you know, what's the right size of an amphitheater in terms of capacity? I know last night we heard that the reference point was the amphitheater in Oshkosh, so you know, for us to take the next steps, we have to understand what the right size would be for Lakeside Park and Fond du Lac in terms of what size events, size of crowd, et cetera. Same thing with any kind of restaurant. Before it would go in there, you'd surely want to understand, you know, what the business is going to be inside that building, what size it needs to be, et cetera. Because you're trying to make sure that it succeeds, right? Right. So, I mean, that's all part of it. It's quite a long list of things we've got to do. But what last night did was give us a roadmap, not really a time schedule.
Well, the public had an opportunity to comment. There were several people who spoke out in favor of this and talked about putting attractions in the park to try to attract more people. But there were a number of people who also spoke and said, instead of putting attractions in the park, Lakeside Park itself is an attraction, and that putting attractions there would ruin the park and take away green space. And I think kind of what struck me watching that and the council deliberations afterward was on an important issue, like probably every now and then there are important issues that come before a governmental body, and this is one of them, I think, in the history of Fond du Lac.
Sure.
And what struck me was the lack of questions that the city council had for city staff on this issue. They had their minds made up going into this. Everybody had their minds made up. I found that interesting. And they didn't have any questions of city staff. I think if I was on council, I would have had a number of questions that I would have asked you and the public works director and the parks director about this business leader's plan and just look for some guidance. I would have asked the city manager, what are your concerns about this plan? Do you have concerns about the plan, about the location of these buildings?
Well, I put a lot of faith into what we're going to find out. I mean, I told the council last night right up front that I had advised our staff to be willing to say, I don't know, when we don't know, because I find it to be pretty disingenuous for any of us to claim that we know something. I mean, we always want to try to answer the questions, but when we don't know it, we ought to say we don't know it. And that's why I set that second and third resolution up that the city council talked about last night, that to be all about feasibility, because I've got right now, I think it's fair to say, more work to do to answer questions than firm answers, right? So what I know now is what the city council decided about where buildings could be built in terms of their approval. Now, whether or not they can be built there due to any other constraints, I mean, real life constraints, like we've already talked about, you know, that's to be determined, and I think there's a lot of faith being put in that process, which seems to me to be reasonable in terms of if it can be built and there's a business case for it, and it appears that given all the information that we know, it will be successful or have a high likelihood of success, whether it's a museum, a restaurant, an amphitheater, or any of the other things, I think that seems reasonable to me. I understand your point, though, about asking more questions, but that feasibility analysis would be pretty thorough. I mean, that's not just a skimming the surface kind of analysis. That'll be pretty in-depth because we'll have to figure out all of those things.
The other question that came to mind was when a spokesperson for the business group said that they have a number of people lined up who want to operate the restaurant, and a question that immediately came to mind is, so they're the ones that are going to select who runs the restaurant?
No, I think what we will end up doing is...
How much control does this business group have in deciding how this is all going to come about?
I would say on a scale, you know, a percentages, you know, 100% scale, I would say less than 10% in terms of, you know, actual decisions. I think that where we are now is you've got a number of people who have said they would like to donate to accelerate the construction of some of those things that have been in our pipeline for a while. They put forth a proposal about where those things might go. And from here out, I mean, this is going to be essentially a city-led analysis. It has to be. I mean, there's a, you know, it's a city park. What I'm counting on, though, is that we'll keep that partnership that we talked about last night, because I, regardless of whether or not folks were in agreement with where things might be located or what things might be located in the park, the generosity of people to offer their time or money to make these things come to life, I think is a great thing. I don't think, though, that there's any trade expected where there's going to be choices made about Lakeside Park that would take city council or the citizens of Fond du Lac out of the equation. I think that's ultimately who's going to decide.
What about for the design work? XL Engineering, for example, did the design work on mm-hmm. the replacement of the pavilion, but mm-hmm. now do you think they expect to be able to do the design work of all of these buildings because they're part of this process?
I don't think expect, but I think it's fair to say they'd hope to, right? I mean, but at this point, they've been as generous, I think it's reasonable to say, as anybody else who said that they would be willing to donate financially
right.
to the Lakeside Park. XL has donated professionally so far. I haven't asked them to do anything. Everything you saw last night.
They've stepped forward.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's fair to say they put in hundreds, and I'm not exaggerating. You don't put together what they showed last night without, you know, a significant amount of effort. So I hope so, but expect so, I don't know.
All right. So when is the, maybe I asked you this question already. Do you hope to have this feasibility study done?
I'd like to get it done this year. I think I would really like to get it done in time that I could use it to inform the 2022 capital improvement plans, right? I mean, we talked last night about some projects that surely will be substantially funded by private donations, I think, because there were numbers mentioned last night between $4 and $5 million of private donations. And I will certainly want to figure out how city funds and private funds can come together to move this thing forward, because as you heard last night, one of the goals was by folks stepping forward with financial support was to accelerate the plan, you know, to bring these things to fruition. So by the time I'm working on the budget for next year, I hope to have, you know, a lot of this done. Whether or not we get there or not remains to be seen. I'll have to see how much that's going to cost.
If the feasibility study comes back and shows some problems, whatever they may be, that could force alterations in this mm-hmm. project or maybe halt parts of the project. Is replacement of the existing pavilion completely dead at this point, or is there a possibility of that being resurrected depending on what happens with that study?
I think right now it's accurate to say it's on hold. The pavilion, the rebuilding, the replacement mm-hmm. of the pavilion's on hold. Because that was the first thing the council did last night. They decided whether or not it was going to restart, essentially just pick right back up where we were in November with the design and such. So they decided to continue that postponement. I certainly owe them some options and some alternatives for what a renovated pavilion would look like. Last night there was one shown to them, an illustration that I think gave a pretty good idea of what it could be, but that's surely not the final word. Obviously, we'll have to come back to the city council on that. So, but for now, though, it's officially postponed, the replacement. And then we'll assume then that we need to get the city council to look at what a renovated pavilion would look like and what all's in there.
All right. Fond du Lac City Manager Joe Moore. Joe, great to have you on
the show. Yeah, thanks, Greg.